Chapter 4. The Baudelaire orphans stared at the scrap of paper, and then at Hector, and then at the scrap of paper again. Then they stared at Hector again, and then at the scrap of paper once more, and then at Hector once more, and then at the scrap of paper once again, and then at Hector once again, and then at the scrap of paper one more time. Their mouths were open, as if they were about to speak, but the three children could not find the words they wanted to say. The expression, a bolt from the blue, describes something so surprising that it makes your head spin, your legs wobble, and your body buzz with astonishment, as if a bolt of lightning suddenly came down from a clear blue sky and struck you at full force. Unless you are a light bulb, an electrical appliance, or a tree that is tired of standing upright, encountering a bolt from the blue is not a pleasant experience. And for a few minutes, the Baudelaire stood on the steps of Hector's house and felt the unpleasant sensations of spinning heads, wobbly legs, and buzzing bodies.
"My goodness, Baudelaire's," Hector said. "I've never seen anyone look so surprised. Here, come in the house and sit down. You look like a bolt of lightning just hit you at full force."
The Baudelaires followed Hector into his house and down a hallway to the parlour, where they sat down on a couch without a word.
"Why don't you sit here for a few minutes?" he said. "I'm going to fix you some hot tea. Maybe by the time it's ready you'll be able to talk."
He leaned down and handed the scrap of paper to Violet and gave Sunny a little pat on the head before walking out of the parlour and leaving the children alone. Without speaking, Violet unrolled the paper so the siblings could read the couplet again. "For sapphires we are held in here. Only you can end our fear."
"It's her," Klaus said, speaking quietly so Hector wouldn't hear him.
"I'm sure of it. Isadora Quagmire wrote this poem."
"I think so too," Violet said. "I'm positive it's her handwriting."
"Blake,"
Sunny said, which meant, "And the poem is written in Isadora's distinct literary style."
"The poem talks about sapphires," Violet said, "and the triplets' parents left behind the famous Quagmire sapphires when they died. Olaf kidnapped them to get a hold of those sapphires," Klaus said. "That must be what it means when it says, 'For sapphires we are held in here.'"
"Peng?"
Sunny asked.
"I don't know how Hector got a hold of this," Violet replied. "Let's ask him."
"Not so fast," Klaus said.
He took the poem from Violet and looked at it again.
"Maybe Hector's involved with the kidnapping in some way."
"I hadn't thought of that," Violet said.
"Do you really think so?"
"I don't know,"
Klaus said.
"He doesn't seem like one of Count Olaf's associates, but sometimes we haven't been able to recognize them."
"Weribe,"
Sunny said thoughtfully, which meant, "That's true."
"He seems like someone we can trust," Violet said. "He was excited to show us the migration of the crows, and he wanted to hear all about everything that has happened to us. That doesn't sound like a kidnapper."
"But I suppose there's no way of knowing for sure."
"Exactly," Klaus said. "There's no way of knowing for sure."
"The tea's all ready," Hector called from the next room. "If you're up to it, why don't you join me in the kitchen? You can sit at the table while I make the enchiladas."
The Baudelaires looked at one another and nodded.
"Kay,"
Sunny called, and led her siblings into a large and cosy kitchen. The children took seats at a round wooden table, where Hector had placed three steaming mugs of tea, and sat quietly while Hector began to prepare dinner. It is true, of course, that there is no way of knowing for sure whether or not you can trust someone, for the simple reason that circumstances change all of the time. You might know someone for several years, for instance, and trust him completely as your friend, but circumstances could change, and he could become very hungry, and before you knew it, you could be boiling in a soup pot, because there's no way of knowing for sure. I myself fell in love with a wonderful woman who was so charming and intelligent that I trusted that she would be my bride, but there was no way of knowing for sure, and all too soon circumstances changed, and she ended up marrying someone else, all because of something she read in the Daily Punctilio.